Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I bust my butt 16, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I needed to do something. Wasn't sure what. Did a lot of research, and most health products pass through our digestive system with very little, if any, benefit. But I have your two bottles of Balance of Nature, the fruits and the veggies, and it's time that people discover this product because it is real, and I see noticeable results. I'm taking Balance of Nature, and I'm getting healthy. I'm reaching a new balance in health. So let's get the word out. Let's get you guys out there and running.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Hi, friends. If I could ask you a favor, go to mypillow.com and put in the code word KATE. Mike Lindell and I have partnered up not only to bring you fantastic products, but he's also helping this show. You're going to get wonderful products when you put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E. You're going to get 30% off on the products. They have specials all the time. But these, I'm not wowed easy, but these products are amazing, I have to say. The sheets, the towels, the robes, the slippers, everything. Completely amazing. You're going to love it. The phone number is 1-800-873-1050. Or go to mypillow.com and simply put in the code word KATE. Thanks, you guys.
One nation under fraud. Completely visible. With lying and spying for all. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Today, doctors at the Federal Communicable Disease Center acknowledge the flu vaccine and the recommended dosage is ineffective. While in a larger dose, it can be harmful. However, the flu vaccine is still recommended.
Last month, a Senate subcommittee headed by Abraham Ribicoff charged that the federal government wasn't doing a good enough job of informing the public about ineffective vaccines.
Scientists at the Division of Biologic Standards test vaccines for their potency and safety before licensing them for public use. However, the division does not determine the effectiveness of the vaccine. That is left to the manufacturers. A case in point is the influenza vaccine. Four scientists in charge of work on the flu vaccine during the 1960s found it to be ineffective, said they refused to give it to their own families. Two were transferred to other work, a third left the division. And over the entire 10-year period, not one word of their unfavorable findings was allowed to be published. That was 3 years after the division's own scientists had pointed out the danger. Dr. Murray justifies the use of the vaccine by saying it took 3 years to examine the evidence against it.
It was more important to use the vaccines than to take them off the market and remove the agent. It's more important to use the vaccines than to take them off the market and remove the agent.
For 3 years, American troops were injected with a cold-preventing vaccine which was causing cancer in laboratory animals.
I just feel so safe. Don't you? Especially when they want to inject you with an experimental vaccine. So awesome. Just hot off the presses with really no trials. Let's be real. They usually have to do 5 to 7 years of trials. Not on this shot. Nope. And they're having more and more problems. In fact, even the Drudge Report had to list out the articles that talked about all the problems right now that we're having. In fact, many of the article titles were people having all these complications, not going for the second jab. Please don't pony yourself up for an experimental shot. It's not even a vaccine. And people want to know how I know that we've had over 2,400 deaths. That isn't all. That's just the ones that are reported, which only are about like a fourth of what's really going on in the last 2.5 months. It's on VAERS, V-A-E-R-S. That's the reporting site. VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, reports injuries, deaths, you know, all the different things, Bell's palsy, Guillain-Barre. There's all kinds of different things going on because people are getting these injections. You don't know what you're putting in your body and you can't reverse it. You might want to give it a while if you're still really interested. There's no way in the hell anyone's coming near me with a needle with that. Sorry. Anyway, I have Susan here. How are you?
Hey, super.
Good. We have a lot on the docket today. What we don't get to today, I'll do tomorrow, because I have a lot on China as well. Fentanyl, all kinds of stuff on that too. So it's really, it's got to be talked about. How are you? So let's chat, man. What you got?
So were we going to talk?
Oh, George Floyd. Let's start with George Floyd.
Oh, okay. So George Floyd is just kind of in the news and the background. Some people are following the trial, but I have followed a guy. I get his newsletters. He is a defense attorney, and he breaks it down, what's happening, especially by the defense attorney. So Chauvin's defense attorney is Eric Nelson, and what's interesting about him, it's his only defense attorney.
Mm-hmm.
But he is up against 14 attorneys on the prosecution side.
Mm.
This is why it can be, this is why the law puts so many barriers in front of what you can admit in court, because the prosecution has such a massive advantage.
Okay.
So they can spend millions of dollars. So he's a Minnesotan, mm-hmm. and he runs a defense practice. And mm-hmm. so he's, as you watch him cross examine the prosecution's witness. So the prosecution is putting on their side, but he gets to cross-examine them. So when you initially see the witnesses and you're hearing stuff mm-hmm. from them, you go, this sounds bad.
Right.
And then he gets up to cross-examine them and brings out a huge amount of information that was left off by the prosecution. Now, two of his most recent mm-hmm. People that he cross-examined, he is going to bring up as his own witnesses. So when it's the defense's turn, mm-hmm. these guys are going to come back because they are so effective for the defense.
Interesting.
In other words, in some sense, this was a case that is going to make the prosecution look bad because they glossed over so much.
Mm.
They didn't show pictures to the public that are very damning. So one of the most damning things that I saw was a picture of a crowd. So from one of the officers' cameras, you can look across the street and see this crowd that gathered, the angry crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 13 people.
Okay.
And it's two rows. And in one of the shots, the guy in the back row has got his hand on the chest of a guy in the front row, like restraining him, like, don't go over there.
Hmm.
So it's almost like this guy was about to go over there. That's how aggressive the crowd was. And the crowd admits they were yelling at him. They were calling him names.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it turns out, that crowd factor mm-hmm. does play a role in what the officers are allowed to do, and how you had that grab and throw basically mm-hmm. into the ambulance
mm-hmm.
was probably because of the angry crowd.
Interesting.
And so all of a sudden,
because they didn't follow one protocol. It was very interesting. That's why I thought the whole thing was really a manufactured, almost manipulated event with somebody that's an ex-con who worked with the guy who knelt on his neck. So that's very, very, and he was on a lot of drugs at the time. So anyway, there's just so much to this story to unwrap.
Right. And so when you hear some of the police chief mm-hmm. and people being asked certain questions and then giving certain responses, it sounds damning. But for instance, he said they were supposed to have de-escalation. They were supposed to have de-escalated. Well, what is de-escalation? I didn't realize that it's calling for backup. That's mm-hmm. a de-escalation policy. Another one is to use verbal commands to de-escalate. They did that in the back of the SUV. So they went through all the procedures. Well, the guy that I watched, his name is Mercel, and mm-hmm. he is an expert in ground defense. So he trains the other police officers.
Mm-hmm.
They put him on the stand. And I learned a lot of things. So there is a particular restraint that they are mm-hmm. allowed to use.
Mm-hmm.
And it is where you have a knee across back the shoulder blades, and it looks like the kneecap is on the neck,
mm-hmm.
but the knee is really between the shoulder blades.
Okay.
There was a shot of a photograph from one of the other police officers' cameras looking down. You can see Chauvin's knee on that area and the shin across his back. Now, you can see how from the front,
mm-hmm. So it was in the right place. It just looked
It could have been.
Bad.
So that's what the defense is saying. Mm-hmm. And they have a photograph to back it up that the public has not seen before. Mm. So the angry mob photograph was somebody holding them back.
Mm-hmm.
And now this photograph, you think, oh my gosh. So here is one of the things he said to him. He said, it appears to be between the shoulder blades, this expert says, doesn't it? Or the expert answers, yes, sir, to Nelson, the defense attorney. And he says, does this appear to be what's called a neck restraint? Now, they're trained in that, too, and it comes from both sides of the necks, pressure in.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, this does not appear to be a neck restraint. All of a sudden, you're getting another side of the story. They are trained to use body weight to gain control. That is part of their training.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as long as you need to control them, but it includes the factors of the crowd. Because one of the things they said was, once you control somebody and they stop resisting, do they ever start up again? Oh, yes, this expert said. Once they even pass out, do they ever become revived? Oh, yes.
Interesting.
So it's appropriate to continue a restraint after it looks like the person has stopped resisting, especially if there's an angry crowd as a factor. So they're required by law to take into account what happens before, what's happening in the immediate future, and the menacing situation. So all of those things a police officer is allowed to consider. And the Supreme Court ruled in a case, Graham versus Connor, that somebody, that police officers have a right to act from their perspective in the moment and not necessarily from 20/20 hindsight.
Interesting.
And so these factors, it's a very sophisticated area of law that can look bad.
Right.
But there was another point that was so interesting to me, and that is police officers are supposed to be responding to what the person sounds like if they're... There's a sound when a person is dying, and some people call it a death rattle. It's called an agonal breath. But they said, this defense attorney asked the expert, if there's a loud, noisy crowd, would you necessarily be able to hear that? No. So here you have the crowd impacting on a situation in a way that was so negative in terms of who was able to respond. Now, whether or not this was a false flag or a setup or whatever, in any given situation, if you are part of a noisy crowd, when people are trying to assist somebody on the ground, you are interfering and making it worse for the police officers. Because police officers in those situations, they have to focus on their immediate threat and the distant threat, two major threats. Because
wouldn't they almost have to react to in the way that they would do things differently? And when I say that, I mean, they could react and be like, well, what am I doing? Right.
Yes.
That kind of reaction too. But I have thoughts on this. I mean, I actually think that this case was made very, made by the mainstream media as something they completely focused on all year. Biden calling it, bigger than MLK being assassinated was the George Floyd funeral.
That's right.
It was just asinine comment. And when you watch how the news media played this up, they wanted to foment a race war.
Yes.
They wanted to foment a war against police because there are many good police. And they wanted to get that going because there were so many different cities talking about defunding the police. And this was adding fuel to the fire. I think this was a very manipulated event. You can't get a job as a security officer as an ex-con who robbed banks and things like this if you were, but he was able to get on because, of course, he worked with these cops that were doing this on the side of their own job, right?
Yes.
So to me, when you're that in bed with the people that end up doing this to you, something has gone awry, something's going on, and I think the event was very manipulated. But this is all very interesting, what's coming up in court. And I do think this is the reason it is coming up in court, because they keep wanting to, they keep wanting that fomenting of the race war
and the narrative.
Cop war. Yes. Otherwise, they just go ahead and put the guy away and you'd never hear about it again, like they do in many cases. I want to hear more. Be right back with Susan. Don't go anywhere. Kate Daly Show.
By scheduling today.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
In a baseball hat, stands in the field with his ball and bat. Says, I am the greatest player of them all. Puts his bat on his shoulder and he tosses up his ball. And the ball goes up and the ball comes down. Swings his bat all the way around. The world's so still you can hear the sound. The baseball falls to the ground.
Hi there. So racist. Baseball.
Not a little boy.
Don't you just remember all those racist messages from baseball growing up when you were playing baseball and so forth? So racist. Putting out, I was just looking at the picture of the baseball league putting out the big BLM, you know, things on the fields that they started doing last summer. And it's just kind of amazing. And you know what, Google said? They finally, they use the word finally, decided to begin changing how it's run after decades of dealing with a racist history. You mean the same racist history that made all the black players famous? Oh, that racist history. That gave all that opportunity? Oh, that one. Okay. I just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page. Yeah. Anyway, it's just so crazy to me that we're going down this road, because we're talking about it with this too. The George Floyd case was to basically the press, the government, they all wanted to grandstand on this so that they could make this their big case, right? Their big, you know, the let's get the cops out. We still need police, people. Get the cops out. Blame all cops for doing something in a photo that everybody thought was going on. That's our point right now. Everybody thought they could see with their own eyes what was happening. Maybe not so much, is what Susan's saying, when they started testifying what was actually going on. And, of course, fomenting this race war. Because everyone was going, well, I don't condone this when cops do this. Well, nobody does. You've got the bad apples. But the bad apples do not represent the whole of the police. And I've never believed that once. But that's what they wanted you to believe. So that picture that got sent around with him sort of, the cop sort of looking like, what, you know, and neck on, you know, his knee on the neck wasn't really happening as much as people thought it was from the picture. It looked bad, but it actually wasn't really what was going on.
It's just more nuanced because there was a hold, a restraint of kneeling with your knee between the shoulder blades, but right up against the neck, and then the shin across the back. And from another perspective and another camera looking down, that's exactly what it looked like. Right. And as the medical person came over to see if he was alive, so he could not, as he testified, have felt that heartbeat.
Right.
If that knee was in that.
Now, he was on
position.
A myriad of drugs, they said. Whether
yes,
it was given to him, because I firmly believe that that happens a lot, or he did it himself, this case was used for certain purposes. Absolutely. To the extent of the manufacturing of this, I don't know. But something felt very off to me from the very, very beginning, because certain pictures were sent out in the press for a certain reason. And now they're saying, ignore the autopsy results in the courtroom. They're saying, ignore all that. Ignore that he died of the drug overdose, right?
Yeah, let's just focus on other things.
So let's be very political about this. Let's be very, the social justice charge of let's just believe that it was the neck restraint. Now, when I say that, I also have to say at the same time, because I know I'll get comments on this too, I don't agree with all the things the cops are taught to do in every single situation. And I think a lot of times it's overkill and they don't need to go that far. But I think they do. They're trained in a different way now. And so I think there still, though, are a lot of really good men as cops who might not go as far as some of the bad cops with those techniques. But I do believe it's overkill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's training involved.
And
right?
Here they're saying ignore the drugs and focus on the...
Yeah.
On the fact that the press said it was because of the neck.
That it was because of the neck.
Yeah.
Yes. But the autopsy came back.
Unbelievable.
And what Nelson said in his opening statement was that it was a speedball that they found a mixture of an opioid and a stimulant.
Right.
And it, it'll show the autopsy. He died of a cardiac arrhythmia that occurred as a result of hypertension and methamphetamines.
Okay.
And the
Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hello. I was just curious to know, is the defense going to ask why two sheriffs stepped out of the EMT, which I thought was very peculiar, and why was the Asian guy wearing his badge? It was a patch. It wasn't like a solid metal badge like the other guy.
Yeah, there were some very,
that was very suspicious.
Yeah, it was very suspicious. Thank you for that. We actually did a show
Thank
on that, Investigator Dave and I.
Yeah, there's a lot of really odd things.
Are they bringing this up in court?
No. Not those points, because this,
of course not.
Because when you have a prosecution, the defense attorney can only bring up the narrow areas that the prosecution is currently focused on. So once the defense's turn, he'll have a much wider berth of what he can bring up, and then the prosecution has to respond to that. But the state's criminal complaint against Chauvin said the autopsy revealed no physical findings that supported a diagnosis of traumatic asphyxia or strangulation. There was no trauma to the neck.
Interesting.
And so now they've got to live with that reality.
Well, they just don't want you to talk about it in court. It's like, okay. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Susan just hit it.
Yep.
I don't know how much this officer weighs, but I'm a little under 200 pounds. If I put my shin on somebody's neck, it is going to cause trauma. And the coroner was quite clear. It wasn't the deal. This guy was so packed full of fentanyl. I can't even understand fentanyl. I didn't know what fentanyl was 6 months ago. That stuff is dangerous.
Yeah, methamphetamines, that's on the autopsy report. He was kind of loaded up. So
he was loaded up. And they also found his lungs were 2 to 3 times the normal size and filled with fluid. Pulmonary edema is a condition caused by excess fluids in the lungs. It's also a symptom of an opioid overdose because it was the methamphetamine and the opioid.
Right. Thanks.
Blow your heart up.
Well, thank you. Interesting. Yeah.
It's any death is tragic. It was, if that was a real death, which it appeared to be.
I have so many questions about that one.
There's a lot of strange stuff, but it was traumatic for the country and the world to watch what purported to be
what they reported death. It to be.
Yes.
And they wanted it to be this way
in real time.
They wanted the marches. They wanted those certain pictures out. They wanted this. That's what drives me crazy, is everyone bought into it, into the emotion of it.
Immediately.
Without waiting and asking some questions.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of questions.
There is a lot more to be dug out, and people need to sit and patiently and dispassionately look at information. There was one news anchor who said, and then the defense attorney just said these horrible things. Yes, it's called a defense.
Jeez.
Like, it shouldn't exist.
Right.
But this is a great system to get to some details. I learned
a
lot.
I'm actually surprised.
I know.
I really am. There's got to be some stuff they're not going to allow in.
Well, probably. But just alone, this Graham and Connor, Graham versus Connor, 1989, it is that objective reasonableness test examining the officer's actions. So in any other officer's life looking at this, would that be reasonable under all the totality of the situation? The raging mob, the prior fight in the car, the totality. And that's the standard. So we're naive as a citizenry. I didn't know that was the standard. And you would think that the Michael Brown case would have told us that there was, they had to look at the bigger picture of what had happened prior.
Right.
So,
and on this one, there were so many things about his past that didn't come up that linked him to these exact people. I'm sorry, but was he turned an informant?
Yeah.
Did the informant go bad? There's too many questions in this.
I'm sorry, but
they work together. I mean, that is,
I know.
It just was not brought up by mainstream. They stayed far away from that. And I thought, something's very wrong with that.
Well, defense, we'll see if they bring it up.
Yeah.
Eventually.
That really will.
I know.
That'll be interesting.
I know. But it gives you an appreciation for, can you imagine facing the fact that when you go out, you may go end up in a huge fight as part of your career.
Right.
Wrestling on the ground. So, someone grabbing your gun.
Everybody with all the t-shirts, the knee on the neck and everything else, it looked like that, except that that was not the cause of death.
That's what the autopsy said. It was not the cause. There was no trauma to the...
Interesting. Not like coroners can be bought off or anything, because they can. We've seen in all kinds of different cases, the celebrity ones, the Hollywood ones, right, come into play. But I don't think this was a celebrity coroner, from what I understand.
No, it was a medical examiner, although there was a family pathologist that said he died from asphyxia. The family pathologist.
Interesting.
So, and I believe they did they bury him or cremate him? I'm not sure.
They usually cremate him. So that's what I you know, it's interesting. That's usually what happens in these cases.
Now the body's gone.
It's kind of like Judge Scalia.
Fast.
Yeah. Too fast.
Over and done.
Too fast. Well, dead and cremated, and the family doesn't even have a say in it. Interesting.
Just on the surface, the media traumatizes us with all this, the replay.
Right.
And so, understandably, communities are traumatized.
Yeah. Let's take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I just want to ask, have you both noticed that when the altercation first began, Mr. Floyd had hair, and then when he was put in the ambulance, he didn't have hair. That's amazing. When did he get a haircut in the middle of all this?
That was interesting.
Watch the video.
Yep, I know. There were way too many things. We actually called it a false flag from the very, very beginning. But this certainly is interesting coming to light now. And Biden and his comments about it being worse than Martin Luther King assassinated,
It is a tell.
Yeah.
To hype it to that level?
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely want their mileage out of it. I'll go as far as to say that. And they're getting it because the media is just frothing over this, and the scripts they're given, they're reading them verbatim. They're right on target as far as saying, you know, exactly, not right on target in a good way, right on target in a very propaganda-ish way that they always are. I don't have any respect for the bobbleheads. I just can't even imagine. They know better, and they keep reading that slop.
I know. There was one more thing I learned.
Sure.
In the course of this cross-examination by the defense attorney, of the expert witness who trains police officers, they talked about human factors of force. And I hadn't heard that before. Mm-hmm. But in any interaction and altercation, you get tunnel vision for police officers. It can go down to 19%. Mm-hmm. Your sympathetic stress kicks in, fight or flight. You get audio exclusion, which means things coming from a distance are muffled. Mm-hmm. And then your hands, you get vasoconstriction. So everything, the blood's rushing to your heart. But this is also happening to the person you're interacting with, not just the police officer. So you have two people in this heightened fight or flight state with their vision narrowing. Mm-hmm. And you add drugs on top of that. Mm-hmm. It really is this combustible situation that police officers are trained over and over, but can never be 100% prepared for what's going to happen at any minute.
Yeah. My fear is that this whole thing and the way it was engineered to be with the race war and the war on cops is that we lose the good men and we get the more of the bad apple, the badge heavy, the ones that just absolutely love wearing the badge. But honestly, that's such a small group compared to the good men.
Absolutely.
As I've met many, many good officers, good men, that would never do these types of things, but they're all blamed for them, and I don't like that. That sucks. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I'd like to say we'd do okay forever in blue jeans. Baby, tonight.
Hi there, welcome back. I know, a little Neil for you. Neil Diamond, welcome back to the show. Go to Balance of Nature. Make sure that you are getting the supplement, and you'll love it. After my hour on rice and farmland and Bill Gates and what's happening and HAARP, you just may want to invest in some extra Balance of Nature. I would, instead of buying all the supplements, that can get so spendy when you're trying to buy every single supplement, you know, take 50 pills a day. You can actually just take Balance of Nature. That sums it all up for you. You got six caplets. It's three of the fruits, three of the veggies. You have the fiber spice drink. You're done. It's so great. It can help with everything. Cholesterol, weight loss, arthritis, you name it. So what are you waiting for? This is the product you want. Make sure to go get it and put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E, at balanceofnature.com to get 35% off and free shipping. It's guaranteed. You can try it out. You'll love it. All right, balanceofnature.com. Don't forget the code word KATE. It's the same code word at mypillow.com, too. We were just talking about this off the break, and we have to bring this up because we're going to run out of time, but you have to talk about the video games that the State Department's funding. Oh my gosh.
So they made an announcement today, the U.S. State Department Video Game Diplomacy.
I'm sorry. Video Game Diplomacy. This is what the State Department's doing.
Yes.
The video games.
They came up with this idea. Yeah. And it said, actually, it recommends, due to blue jeans, this article from MSN said, American culture has been projected overseas. True. Elvis, blue jeans, Coca-Cola, MTV, Hollywood films.
Wait a minute. Video game diplomacy.
Yes.
I just had to wrap my brain around it for a moment. I had to be like that stupid where I thought that was a good idea. Okay, I'm there. All right, go ahead.
It gets better. So it's part of the Stevens Initiative.
Stevens.
And as it turns out, they issued 83 grants. Oh, and who is this named after? Named for the U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens.
Wait. They named a program for video game creation to honor Chris Stevens, who Hillary let die in the attack?
It's so morbid to me that they did this.
Oh my gosh.
Interestingly.
I'd be so ticked off if I was this family. Go ahead.
They didn't name a resort that diplomats visit with his name. So diplomats don't have to be reminded of it, but let's attach it to. So it's a public-private partnership.
Of course it is. Everything is.
Funded by the U.S. government. Wait.
No.
The governments of Morocco, the United Arab Emirates, and the Bezos Family Foundation.
And Bezos of Amazon is taking the diplomat that was basically murdered by Hillary, okay? Because Hillary just went, what? What? They just, what? It was a weapons exchange, and oh, I'm just so sorry you died for Benghazi, in Benghazi, which those guys we had on the show.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So Bezos
Foundation, and administered by
UAE. I'm sorry.
The UAE. Mm-hmm. Administered by the Aspen Institute. So we're just getting the whole liberal ball of wax here.
Oh my gosh.
And it said that the initiative's goal is a virtual exchange program to foster connections between young people in the U.S. and the Middle East and North Africa via skill development.
So what propaganda are we shoveling at kids through video games now?
I can't even imagine. Well, and it said that, so here's one of the people managing this, who said games have a power beyond entertainment. They can be significant drivers of social impact, said Susanna
like
Pollock. I know.
Straight up propaganda.
So this money in part is going for Games for Change, which has been focused on supporting the creation of video games with social messages. It's a medium that's universal, like other forms of media. Games can address important social topics and meet people where they are. Well, here's the thing. Most parents are not sitting in on these games.
No. And if the public education can't do it, video games surely will. Wow.
Right. And so they said they anticipate it will reach about 75,000 young people in 18 Middle East and North African countries,
perfect,
as well as 47 U.S. states, Puerto Rico, and Washington, D.C. So I went over to Games for Change because I thought, Games for Change.
Boy, they don't even hide it. So give me a couple of the titles that they're working on, that they have out.
Here's an interesting one called Data Dealer. I'm thinking to myself, data dealer summary, buy and sell personal information to make the most powerful data collection empire.
Oh, I'm so glad they're teaching this.
The synopsis is, quote, legal, illegal, whatever. With these words, you begin your data collection empire. It's a single player, soon multiplayer systems management game that you use your own network of underground contacts and online companies to collect as many people's personal
what a great exercise for Johnny. I mean, come on. You go after school. Forget the ABC after school specials like in the 80s. Oh, no. This is government created, Bezos created. Bezos, the total tool that runs Amazon, CIA adopted Bezos.
We haven't even seen the new ones yet, but this is on Games for Change. And it says, quote, you can pay off disgruntled nurses for medical information and hackers for passwords and credit card numbers.
You're kidding, right?
No, this is exactly. You can develop
off nurses for medical info.
Oh, wait. You can develop your own companies, such as dating sites and loyalty card programs. This is in the game to collect sexual orientations or buying habits for your database. And then with this data,
sexual orientation. Okay.
You can add features or hire lawyers and psychologists to decrease your risk and increase the number of profiles you have access to. Basically, becoming a criminal. In a game.
I'm so glad our 10-year-olds are going to be privy to such info.
You know, and here's the thing.
It's super duper going to help them.
People say it doesn't have that effect. Games don't have like a criminal effect on people. But they do not include who is susceptible. So we just saw a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old girls in DC hijack an Uber Eats driver. And while someone was filming, hijack his carjack, and then he died. He was smashed into a wall, and it showed his broken body. It was so horrific. And that just happened this week. Jeez. Now, what is the car theft, Grand Theft Auto, has carjacking scenarios.
Yeah.
For the first 21 days in Chicago, there was like 122 carjackings. Now, this just isn't random.
Isn't it interesting that this is all data?
It's data.
It's data. Medical data, just data.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Because this is the new thing. Remember, they have the big conference, the big drill coming up. The dry run for the biggest cyber attack we'll ever know. And when people ask me, do you think that will bring down the economy? No, I don't. No, I don't. Not yet. They're going to do it because what it will do is shore up more privacy violations because they're going to say we have to keep ourselves more safe, but you're actually going to be giving more info. You're going to have less privacy because of this and because they want to own these aspects, all the internet and everything else. They want to own and control it completely. They already own and control it, we're talking about complete overhaul.
Yeah,
but they're right now they're going to be doing this drill in June for the big cyber attack on data, the big cyber attack on could be systems that run everything, utilities, all kinds of the grid attacks, all kinds of things. So just know that's coming. Whenever there's a drill, just expect something to happen right after. That's pretty much what goes on.
Well, and
it's what COVID happened.
Yeah. And thinking back to this game, you think, was there anybody involved who said, you know, I'm really not comfortable with this. Mm-hmm. I'm really not comfortable making. Well, here's another one just in case.
So wait, illegal, or whatever. Johnny's going to pick whatever.
I know. Or illegal.
So, you know, to be morally compromised, I mean, I probably wouldn't go legal. I'd go C, whatever. I mean, that would be the choice, right? They actually almost want you to choose it.
I know.
Otherwise, it would be legal, illegal.
Right.
And you know which one you would choose. And then there's the big iffy one in the middle. Give me a break. Is this illegal? Legal?
Well, and people's morals are being shaped by this. So here's another one. City Rain, it's a puzzle and simulation game about urban planning and sustainability. Okay. But it says your character is a member of an elite environmental SWAT force in charge of restructuring cities before they are penalized by the World Environmental Protection Agency. You're part of an environmental SWAT team. Oh my gosh!
And so you,
I'm so horrified right now.
They're doing both. They're placing big amounts of propaganda in this, right? And they're also psychologically analyzing the kids playing these games. Because if you don't think there's a back door for that data, you're crazy. They want to know what our youth would do in these situations. They want to know how the propaganda in public education and on social media has been working. This is a great way to do it.
It really is. So here's part of the scenario. You will be constantly challenged by Bain Industries, one of the last corporations in
Bain,
the world.
Bain, as in Romney?
That refuses to submit to a World Environmental Protection Agency standards for process and production. Are you ready for the challenge? You might just save our world. That's a game.
Okay. I don't even have words.
There was another one that may not still be active, but it's called Darfur is Dying, about all these people dying of dehydration and trying to get water. So they send their children to get water because, quote, if the women go out, they get raped. Now, I don't know who this game was directed at.
What? This is a kid video game that was paid for by Bezos, our State Department, the Aspen Group.
I don't know if this is just on Games for Change. So this is existing games, and these were created before. There's new games coming with the Stevens Initiative.
I don't even know. Under the name of Stevens, who was let hang out to dry and murdered in Libya under Benghazi under the Obama administration.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I got the picture right.
No, but back to your point that they may be watching how kids react probably. Here's pipe trouble. Make a profit laying natural gas pipelines while handling negative community responses.
Oh my gosh. No. Can you imagine a bigger load of propaganda than this? Can you even? I couldn't dream this crap up. This is a steaming pile of turd. They're giving this to kids.
Oh.
I don't even know what to say to
this.
Well,
propaganda, they have a game for that, for propaganda. It's called Fake It to Make It.
Oh, my God.
It's a simulation where players take on the role of someone creating and distributing fake news for profit.
Of course. They can't let this alone because truth.
Yes.
Truth comes out. They call it fake news. So how do you combat that to get them really geared up, you know, against truth?
Yes.
Interesting.
So it has you creating websites. Huh. I tried this one out, getting articles, and you're supposed to inspire negative emotions like fear and anger so that your articles spread further. I mean, I was like thinking to myself, I don't know how many more of these I want to go through. I think on this one site, there's like 1,200 games, and I was like, I was traumatized by just the first few that I delve into. There's benign games.
I don't know, but I'm laughing, but I'm crying for our youth.
I think it bypasses some rational thinking. When you enter a game, mm-hmm. you're responding to prompts. Mm-hmm. And for children, they're very susceptible.
Well, legal, illegal, or whatever. Those are some of your choices in these games. I mean, what are you going to choose? I mean, of course, they're prompting you to choose the third. Right?
I know.
Because you don't want to look too goody two shoes and get legal, but you don't want to be the bad guy because you've been taught by your parents pretty well. Go for whatever. Well, so that teaches you to live in that medium of whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever goes.
Moral ambiguity, and you're getting paid for, I don't know, bribing nurses.
Or putting up with an angry crowd. That's nice. Or what was the last one?
Creating fake news stories and promoting fake news. And I don't know how tantalizing these games are, but it said it's to generate healthy skepticism and investigate dubious claims, which that could be good.
Let me guess. They're actually going to tell you who's responsible for the good news. And then all those outliers are the fake news.
Well, and point you to fact checkers.
Right. Because our bobbleheads at CNN and Fox are the instigators of truth.
Or the fake news. Or the fact checkers.
Yeah.
Fact checkers.
Thanks, Susan.
That
blows my mind. Thank you. That's just so sickening. That's so sickening.
Well, be aware.
Yeah.
Parents.
Be aware and don't have these for your kids. Oh, my gosh. And no one would have known. See, all the games look alike. You would not have thought that this was a creation by our tax dollars, because the State Department doesn't have any money unless they're given money.
Interesting. By us. Be faithful. Be fearless. See you back here tomorrow. I'll talk about fentanyl, China. That'll get interesting, too. Thank you, Susan.
Welcome.
All right, you guys. See you later. KateDalyRadio.com.